Okay. So, now, as you probably noticed yesterday, this suga is difficult.
Yay!
Yeah!
What's new?
What else is new? No, look, I'm telling you that when I did this suga with, I did this suga when I was in, NYU in Rosenzweig chair. I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I literally, to find sources, I remembered that I had made a note for myself of what makaros to look at on my bechina for Rosenzweig in my first semester in NYU. So I went through my email and found my bechina from my first semester in NYU and found the makaros I had left for myself.
Smart.
That was 2008, so 11 years ago.
Oh, jeez.
Fun times. Rosenzweig's bechinas are terrifying, I'm just saying. I was one of the three fastest people, and it took me about 7 hours to finish that bechina. Anyways, so, kibbutz yachid. So, this is what we got. Okay? So, two types of questions we got to deal with, right? Is according to the sheet that the kibbutz yachid does not work. Lo shmei kibbutz. We got to figure out why doesn't it work, and how does the condition that is offered by that mefaresh fit into the word rabim. Rabim or yachid, right? Meaning rabim lumat yachid, meaning that's the access, right? So yesterday, all we did was Rashi, but as we saw, there were many possibilities. Okay, so let's start. What could rabim mean? What are all the possibilities that it could mean?
600,000.
Wait, let's do conceptual categories. Rabim. So it could be a question of numbers.
Or...
Right?
Intentions.
Right? Which could mean, now this could divide, right? It could mean literally 600,000 being the magic number of Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Or the entire nation as
right?
a whole.
Or that's just a way of saying national, right? But not necessarily 600,000, right? But even within this, right, there's two ways of understanding it, which is... Right? Which is what?
The 600,000 soldiers?
Correct, right?
Or
this could be
actual,
right, this could be in the army, right? Or it could be...
Actual people.
Meaning like, in the nation, right?
Yeah.
Meaning Litzorin, right? For whom? Right? Not who's fighting, but for whom are they fighting? Right? So we saw within Rashi, it's not clear. He says 600,000, right? But again, it's not never totally clear whether 600,000 is just the way we say the nation versus national, right? And it's not clear whether we mean the army, right? Or Litzor, right? Litzorin.
Well, that's in 600,000, not in national.
Correct.
Oh.
Right?
Fine. Yeah.
Here. Whatever.
Sorry, yeah, I was a little confused.
Yes. So. Right? Okay. Now... There was, right? Then there's the question of whether it means more than that, meaning it means national in other senses, right? So in other senses, what ways might that mean?
How it's different.
So here again, it could be Tzorech, right? Versus Litzorko, right? That was Rashi, right? And then there's the question of Heter, right? Or Alpiyat. Alpiyat Dibur.
Oh, that's not part of Rabbah.
Right? So Rashi also brings up Alpiyat Dibur. Right? Alpiyat Dibur. But Alpiyat Dibur can mean multiple things. It could be
Nivuah.
Part of national. Right? I mean, yes, this could be Nivuah. It could be Urim Vitumim. Right? By the way, Urim Vitumim. On which... Trivia. On which universities... Insignia. Does it say Urim Vitumim?
Yale.
Yale. And what does it say? It says
Urim Vitumim. Lux Severitas.
Very good. Right? In Latin. Right? On Yale's insignia, it says Urim Vitumim, and then it says in Latin,
Lux Severitas.
Right? Which means the same, light and truth. Right? Light and truth.
Like,
what?
Like it's like everyone has like their thing that they scroll, like Facebook, Instagram, and you're busy looking up the history of Yale.
Because remember, they used to be divinity schools. That's the point. Okay. Anyways, so Alpiyat Dibur, we said there's two things. It could be that it is a second tonight. Right? Meaning
second tonight.
Right? Meaning Rashi could mean, and then it doesn't fit into Rabim. Right? I mean, it could be that Rashi says in Yisrael Alpiyat Dibur, he's saying you need two things. Rabim plus Alpiyat Dibur.
Or,
right?
Said that,
Alpiyat Dibur could be under Rabim, meaning this could be part of defining it as national in the sense of
you need
religious national. Right? Right? Meaning something could be national in two ways.
It's a
national in terms of numbers, right? But it also could be in terms of vision.
So halachically mutter.
Well, so that was another thing, is Alpiyat Dibur.
Well, that's not the same as religious national.
Well, again, there's two ways, and then there's even two ways you could take that, right? Is al pi hadibur, is it literally you need the dibur to say it? I understand that. I get that this is confusing, right? You don't understand how many weeks we spent on this. Okay, now, why? Let's take Yosef's approach from yesterday, namely that really there's only one rule here, which is that it has to be Rabim, and all the factors in Rashi are functions of defining Rabim. Now, this is the direction which is taken by basically Mishpachat Soloveitchik in various forms. So, if Rabim has two tanaim, one is numbers, which we'll leave for a moment, that's obvious, but the second is, right, al pi hadibur. So, what proof might you offer for saying that al pi hadibur is not about heter, not about God saying so, but about defining it as national? Hint, source 4. Right? Hint, source 4. Right? So if you look at the Rambam, right, this is what's brought by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in his article, which we'll get to, right? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik wrote probably the main article, was published in Tchumen many years ago, on whether or not the Shtachim that were conquered post 48, 67, whether they have Kedushat Haaretz, whether they have the status of Kibush Yachid. So he makes the argument that al-Pi HaDibur, right, doesn't mean literally Urim V'Tumim. It's a way of making it national, right? Because Urim V'Tumim has a unique role in defining things as national. He proves this from the Rambam in Klei HaMikdash. You want to take the Rambam? Mm-hmm. You want an extra copy? Shimon, why don't you take the Rambam?
But
this is talking about asking questions of the Urim V'Tumim.
So basically, you shouldn't go, seems like answer shopping.
No, so ein nishalin bahen lehed yo. You don't ask for just a regular guy, right? You only get to ask the Urim V'Tumim if it's for the king,
right,
or the court, or for somebody that the tzibur needs.
Why does it say Ola Melech, or the king, if it's the first?
Meaning it's not a non-king, non-leader. It doesn't have to be the king per se. It could be the king, it could be the court, could be a leader who's not a king, right? But anybody who's national, right? And then he says, right, normally who's Amelech?
Not the king, okay.
Right? V'chol b'nei Yisrael zehu mashuach melchamo mishetzorech hatzibur b'sheilato v'chol ha'eda elu betin hagadol. And he quotes it from a pasuk, right, which is v'chol b'nei Yisrael. That's not literally all of B'nai Israel. It's Mashuach Melchama. It's the Kohen Gadol who's Mashuach Melchama. Now, fine, the sheets that I made for you, I just gave to, you're good. Or for the person who the Tzibur needs the question to be asked for. So you see in the Rambam that he focuses on the fact that the Urim V'Tumim isn't just about getting a heter. What is it? It's getting a specific type of heter, which
from
is
the entire nation.
A heter for a national purpose. And that's why many, right, argue that even though Rashi says al-Pi HaDibur, they agree with Yosef. That it's not two conditions, right? It's two conditions within Rabim, right? Meaning there's two ways of defining something as national. The numbers get it to the fact that technically it is national, right? And al-Pi HaDibur means that it's part of the national vision. Right? But both of them are function
wasn't
of Rabim, as opposed to saying that these are two completely separate categories of Rabim and al-Pi HaDibur, which again can be divided into Heter, right, which we'll see in a moment, which is the position of the Sifrei, and or literally al-Pi HaDibur, right, Mamish.
So
remember, this is going to be important, Halacha L'maaseh, why? Because we don't have the Urim V'Tumim.
Right.
Right? If you think you mamish need al-Pi HaDibur, then nothing that we sanctify nowadays has Kedusha. Right? Yeah, Eilat, whatever the case may be. If you think all you need is Heter, even if you think it's a separate category, so obviously...
Then it doesn't matter.
Then you could have it nowadays, right? This is the argument Aaron Soloveitchik makes in his article.
It kind of seems like the Rambam saying that al-Pi HaDibur is Sarko versus Sark.
We haven't gotten to the Rambam... Oh, we'll get to the Rambam's Shita himself. Right now, we're just using the Rambam to explain the role of Urim Batumim. You're right. The Rambam himself is a very complicated position.
Oh, he's not. This isn't the Rambam.
This is the Rambam, but this is the Rambam on Urim Batumim. This isn't the Rambam on. Okay, fine. Now, one of the key sources in the Sugya that seems to introduce Al Pi HaDibur as its own condition, though, despite the fact that in the original, many. Right, it seems to be distinct from Rabim. Many of the Rishonim end up equating them, and that is the Sifrei. What is the Sifrei again? Midrash Halacha, right? Meaning just like there's a Gadic Midrash, there is, right? I will. Right, there's Halachic Midrash, right? So, in the Sifrei, in Parshas Ekev, the Sifrei writes as follows. Anyone want to take it?
Sure.
Go ahead. Good.
Kol ha'makom asher tidroch kaf ragleichem, any place that your heels of your feet step down. Im l'lamod al techumei Eretz Yisrael. If you want to, if it's
right. So the right. So the pasuk says is describing the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. It says wherever your foot, right, trods. I guess your heel trods, literally. Wherever you walk, okay.
if it's going to teach the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Hare Kivar Namar,
It already said it. Right? Meaning, it can't be that when the Pasuk goes on to describe the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it's just describing the borders for the sake of describing borders, because
we already did that.
That was the next, that was, right, part of this discussion. I mean, I'm at Bar Valvanon.
From the desert to Lebanon.
Correct.
Ma Talmud Lomar, what is the Pasuk coming to say? Kol HaMakom Asher.
Right, Ma Talmud Lomar, Kol Makom Asher Tidroch.
By saying Asher.
Right, meaning, right, normally, you're right, normally the question would go before the words that it's quoting, but now it's going after. Fine. So Amar Lahem.
Say to them, Kol Makom Shetach Vashu, any place that you conquered, Chutz Min Komos, Ha'elu Harehu Shalchem. Except from the places that...
Meaning, even beyond the borders, these places, Harehu Shalchem is yours. Right. By the way, a question that you should be asking yourself on that line is, right? Do you mean that literally? Kol Makom? Right, meaning
in Chutzlar, like in America.
You don't have to say your address, but Pachori Yoter, right? Remind me where in Texas you're from.
Plano,
right? Right. Plano, so Ephraim in Plano is his house. Kadosh B'kdushas Eretz Yisrael. Because look, in Texas so they definitely have conquered it, right? Anyone who goes on their property, what are they going to do, right? You know, the way Texans own their land, right? You could argue that that's kibush. Does that mean as kedushas Eretz Yisrael? Does it literally mean coal? Right. The simple read of the Sifrei is
yes,
coal. Right.
Even in
right, you could have kedushas Eretz Yisrael in Plano.
Which you
right, if Rabin, right, we'd have to get to Rabin, but the Sifrei hasn't brought it up yet. Right. Now we'll see that the Rav pushed back on that. The Rav said that doesn't make any sense. There's no way that Plano, Texas, can have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Ephraim's like, you know, Yesh Ladun, you know, America.
It was
the promised land, the Puritans, their vision. I know. Okay, fine.
Maybe just great. Ephraim's house is an example.
What? Just Ephraim's house, it may have Kedushas Eretz, it's fine. But anyways, he says, fine. So what does he say? So he says, right, so you might have thought, right, so... Sorry, how do you know that you have the right to conquer and expand the borders of Eretz Yisrael? Let's assume for the moment we're talking contiguous, right? We'll prove this later, but let's assume we mean contiguous. Right, continue. O Rishus B'Yadam.
The Kibush Chutzal, the Eretz Aretz, Ad Shelo Yich Vishu Eretz Yisrael.
But then he says, maybe you'd think you'd have permission to conquer Chutz La'aretz, even if what?
Even if the entire Eretz Yisrael
is not yet conquered, right? Meaning here you have Eretz Yisrael, right? Pachoda Yoter, right? Pachoda Yoter, right? You might think that even before you conquer all of this, you can start setting up, right, in Syria, right? That's the context, right? Aleppo, Pachoda Yoter, right? Aram Tzova. Right, so what does the Sifrei say?
Talmud Lomar, v'yirsh tam goyim gidolim v'atsumim mikem.
Right, so the pasuk says v'yirshkem goyim, right? You shall drive out nations who are greater than you. V'achar kach,
and afterwards kol hamakom, any place asher tidroch kaf ragleichem bo.
And only afterwards can you
conquer any other place.
Exactly. Meaning?
Shelo tehei Eretz Yisrael.
Shelo tehei Eretz Yisrael mitam'a begilulim v'atem chozrim mekabim v'chodshu l'aretz. You shouldn't allow Eretz Yisrael to be filled with idolatry while you're off conquering random places. Right? Right? That's the Sifrei note says. Now, according to the Sifrei, now, if you just read those lines in the Sifrei, I'll be pshat ha-Sifrei. Does the Sifrei say anything about Rabbim?
Nope.
What does it say?
I'll peep it.
Heter as a different category.
But it's halach.
Right?
It's more of a halach.
Heter, how does the heter come? Right? Now, what's the condition? Not al pi hadibur. According to Sifrei, what's the condition that you need?
You have to conquer Eretz Yisrael before you conquer Eretz.
Correct. It's a question of order. Right? Right? Very simple. Order. Right? This makes a lot of sense. When do you set up colonies? Right? Right?
After
correct, right? We don't start setting up, Hawaii, even states, right, in the United States, right? We didn't, you don't make Hawaii and Alaska kadosh until the mainland is kadosh, right?
Until Texas is kadosh.
Until Vada, you know. But, the Sifrei says, look, right, this is crazy. Right, it would make no sense. You can't start having expeditions out to Aram Tzova, to Syria, to Aleppo, when there's about the Zohar and Eretz Yisrael. Right, when Eretz Yisrael is just waiting to be conquered.
Sounds pretty reasonable.
But so according to the Sifrei, I'll be pshat. Right, pshat is Sifrei. Does this have anything to do with Rabbim?
Nope.
No. You'll ask me a question. How can the Sifrei not care about Rabbim?
He does.
So Ephraim. Be academic. Why did the Sifrei not care about the Gemara?
Because it came before the Gemara.
Right, the Sifrei is Tana Inik. It doesn't have to care about the Gemara. Right? Meaning there's no problem to say in a Hanami. So the Gemara is following a rabbinic tradition that what we need is Rabbim, however you define it. Right? And the Sifrei thinks that no, there's something else. Namely, it has to be Mutter. And what does it mean for it to be Mutter? It has to go in the proper order. Mainland. Then colonies.
But he doesn't mention
Gemara. Then why does the Gemara introduce the idea of Rabbim? The Sifrei came beforehand. Didn't care about Rabbim. Gemara clearly does.
So
something
good.
The Gemara.
So either you say there's two Tanaitic traditions, or you do what Yosef did, right? Which is you try to
connect the two.
Right? Now Yosef's not the first one to do it.
Wait,
right? Rishonim did it too. Right? Rashi, Maritatz, as we'll see in a moment. Did this.
The Sifrei
right?
is saying
But before we do that, right now, how would you do it? Some way, the way Yosef did, which was to say that Rabbim doesn't, right? There's two ways of getting Rabbim. One is numbers, the other is, right? That it should be part of the national vision. There are 10 different factors you could say that make it national vision. I'll be a Dibor or
order.
Order, right? Namely, that it only makes sense from a national perspective to set up colonies after you've conquered the mainland, right? But if you jump to colonize places before the mainland is set up, right, then that may indicate that it's not truly in the national interest, right? So many of the Rishonim try to equate Rabbim with the Sifrei.
But the Sifrei is trying to...
In other words, it's a good example.
But like I said... Before I read the Sifrei, I want you to understand the problem, right? Is that the problem with bringing them together is that the Sifrei
doesn't.
The Sifrei has a very different language than Rabbim, and it never brings up the word Rabbim. So you can bring them closer together if you want, and many of you shouldn't want to. Tosfos, Rashi.
Saying that Rabbim is considered Rabbim is order.
Correct. Meaning, you'll see, Tosfos is going to equate these. He's going to say, the Sifrei equals...
Rabbim.
Right?
Rabbim. Oh, so he's... The majority population?
Or? So that's what we... So
he's saying
that that was... Because it's not your fault I'd sent you to a meeting.
Yeah.
Right? So Rashi says it means 600,000. Uh-huh. But it's not clear in all the Rashis. In two Rashis, not clear. One Rashi makes it clear. It doesn't mean that's how many people were fighting. It means Litzorech HaMelech or Litzorech 600,000. Meaning, who are you fighting for?
So 600,000 is not relative to the population of the area.
So that's also two possibilities, right? That 600,000 could mean literally 600,000, or it could be a stand-in for national.
Right.
Right? Because 600,000 is just a symbolic number. Right? Like I said, nafkamina, what if there's only 500,000 people, Rahman al-Itzlan, in the Jewish people, right? Could you be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael? If you think it's 600,000 because it's a magic number, so then...
abuses.
No. If you think that it represents the national interest, yes.
Is the Sifrei saying that it's more Alpia Dibor?
Oh, it doesn't say Alpia. Now they're focusing on Heter, right? Remember, I said Alpia Dibor could be
or
literally Alpia Dibor, just another way of saying Heter. So let's continue in the Sifrei.
Is he saying Seth Heter under Alpia Dibor or under Rabbi?
So that's what I want to point out, that if you read the Sifrei in a vacuum, meaning without knowing the Gemara,
he's kind of connecting the two.
He doesn't connect it at all. The Sifrei is before the Gemara. No, but the Sifrei is Talmidic.
It could be the intent.
It could be, but remember, this is what I want you to understand, is that if you didn't have the Gemara, you wouldn't read the Sifrei, you wouldn't twist the Sifrei to say anything with Rabbim. Right? Because the Sifrei is a Holt Kufa before the Gemara. The Sifrei is contemporaneous with what? The Mishnah. Contemporaneous, meaning contemporary right? The Mishnah, right? The Tosefto, the Brysos, is Tanaitic, right? Okay, so let's continue. And again, I want you to understand, we'll read the whole Sifrei, understand how in the Sifrei itself, it's a big chiddush to say this has anything to do with Rabbim, as opposed to being simply a rule and order.
Okay.
Right? The fact that many Rishonim try to bring the Gemara into dialogue with the Sifrei, it's an understandable methodology, but as Ephraim will tell you, Bechal, not necessary, right? You can posit, right, that the Sifrei is following a different tradition than that which the Gemara had. The Gemara can have alternative Tanaitic sources, right, that it is following. There's no reason to be miyashiv every Tanaitic source, right, especially out in the Midrashei Halacha with the Gemara. It could be that they argue, but on the other hand, you can say as much as possible, we should. Right, but again, if you read the Sifrei in a vacuum, you wouldn't know it has anything to do with Rabbim. So you continue. It says, "Ella mishetich b'shu." Now listen to the key words: "Mishetich b'shu Eretz Yisrael tihu rasha'im lichbosh chutzal aretz." Right. Once you conquer Israel, you have permission to conquer Chutzal aretz. And now, I know I'm making this more complicated, but this sugya is impossible because of this. Right. The Sifrei said 2 points. Right? What did it say? One is order, and the second is? It's permitted. Right? Now, normally...
But what does it mean it's permitted? It's only permitted if it's an order.
Good. So one possibility is that this is really one condition. Right? Meaning, it is mutter to conquer in order, and usher to conquer out of order. That's one possibility.
Or is that it's mutter?
Or right? Lamai nafkamina, right? Right. What's the difference in saying that? Meaning that? Put it differently. One way is to say all you really need according to Sifrei is
rishus,
which normally means order. The second possibility is you need rishus plus order. Lamai nafkamina. Lamai nafkamina. What's the practical difference between saying that you need rishus, which normally means order, or that you need both as separate conditions?
I guess if you don't have it in order,
if you don't have it in order,
but you still have permission.
You do have permission. What would be the case?
That's if it's the Golan. I don't know. That's
what if it's I mentioned this yesterday. What if it's a defensive war, right? What if the reason you go up to Syria, right, is not because you're trying to set up, right, you're trying to set up colonies, but because they launch a attack from Syria and, right, you try to root out the attack from Syria and, I happen to find myself up here, right, in Lebanon, Syria, who cares, right, and with a military presence. Right? Was I fighting Bereshus?
Yeah.
Yes. Did I do it in the right order?
No.
No. So if it's about Reshus, which normally means order, if I could find a situation where I would generate Reshus without order, so then what? So then what? It would be Kadosh according to the Sifrei, not Mutters. Everyone agrees it's Mutter. Yeah. The question whether it's Kadosh, right? Meaning if I could come up with a case where it would be Mutter even the wrong order,
then
it would be Kadosh. Right? But if you think that no, the Sifrei requires two things, which is Rishus and order, right?
Yeah. Then you would have to, you can't even do it.
Then
for
even if I did it by Rishos,
it doesn't matter.
If it was in the wrong order, it wouldn't be kadosh, right? That's a big nafkamina.
Question.
Right? Because again, if you think about some of the calculus that's going into the question of modern territories, right? What if we conquered something in 56 when we missed, when we didn't have control of a lot of mainland Israel? Yerushalayim, Arei Yehuda.
67, we got control.
Correct, but what happens, anything we would have conquered in 56, right?
The Sinai Desert is outside the bounds of Eretz Israel halakhically.
Right.
However, we had complete control over it for a very long period of
time.
Right,
but we didn't have control over it.
But it wasn't in order, right, because we didn't have...
Exactly.
Right, that's my point, right? You understand how you could come up with a situation like this, where you might not be in control of mainland Israel, but you might have no choice but to fight in such a way that gives you dominance over an expanded territory. Does that make it kadosh or not? Yeah,
so,
fine.
So there's two types of wars. There's an expansive war, and there's a conquesting... There's a defensive war, and there's a conquesting Eretz Yisrael war, right? So in the case of modern state of Israel, it's not all Eretz Yisrael. So, for example, Lebanon is... it's a Muslim nation, that most of the Lebanon is halachic Eretz Yisrael, and if we were to fight a defensive war against, if Lebanon were to fire a bunch of rockets again, Israel would invade that territory, and Israel would manifest that territory. Does it make it a defensive war? Does it make it a war to conquer Eretz Yisrael?
I know
this is a little bit outside this framework.
You're asking the right question. This is exactly, you remember last week when I had a pile of journals on my desk? I kept taking more and more from downstairs. The reason that there's a million Tchumen articles on this topic is because this Shaila comes up literally every time when they conquer things in the north. That is the right question that we have to get to, and that's what modern postgame are grappling with.
Right.
But you understand, that's exactly the point, which is, right? The way the postgame can frame it is, if it became mutter to go into war because it was what we call Lahatzel Yisrael Miyatzar, right? It was defensive, but in the process we conquered mainland Israel,
right.
So is it kadosh? Well, if it's about Rishus, and it's contiguous, and it's the Tzorach Kol Yisrael, because we're fighting a war on behalf of Israel,
but it's still...
it's kadosh. But if we're missing parts of Israel and you need the right order...
If it's mainland of Israel, if it's a lot of Israel, it's still in order.
And yes, part of it is what things were already kadosh, Mikdush of Ezra, which obviously those are kadosh anyways, right? We're talking about things that weren't, like Eilat, right?
Yeah.
Or, to be fair, Ashdod, right? Ashkelon. Right, things that are on the coast, right, which were Philistine. Right, some of the things on the coast were Philistine. Right,
wait.
Were never fully conquered.
Under David, they were taken as a territory. They were a
correct, but not during.
And under Ezra, they were.
So I forget. There are certain parts of it. The problem is these are asked.
So yeah.
Ashkelon, some of them. There's some of the stuff, right?
Okay,
these are the question. Gush Katif, certain parts of Gush Katif were that. Whatever. No, they weren't. There are all types of kulos in there.
From the midbar to the.
But we didn't necessarily conquer it, right? This is, remember we talked about Shem Eretz Yisrael versus Kedush Eretz Yisrael,
right?
Eretz Yisrael in potential is quite big. Eretz Yisrael that was actually conquered and imbued with Kedusha in the time of Yoshua and Ezra, not as big.
So what would
give
a Kedusha? Shem Eretz Yisrael?
Might have Shem Eretz Yisrael, but might not have Kedusha, and for the purpose of Chumos and Maestros, what we care about is Kedusha, not Shem.
I don't understand. You said, right, I understand the second one, but what were you giving example before?
What do you mean? Which one? You're going to have to say... I don't remember which order I said it in, so you have to tell me which one. I'm saying that when it says... Right, the Sifrei has two points. One is you have to do it in order. The second is that it needs to be permitted. It's not clear whether these are meant to say the same thing, meaning it has to be permitted, which normally means do it in the right order.
Okay.
But let's say there would be a case where you do it in the wrong order, but it would be permitted.
Okay.
Right?
So
namely,
you give the Kedusha.
Right? So then it would have Kedusha if you thought that all you really need is that it's mutter. Right?
You give Rishis.
What?
You give Rishis to it.
Yeah, okay, Rishis. Yeah. There you go. Right? Or do you say, no, you need two things. It needs to be mutter and in the right order. And therefore, in a case where it might have been mutter, but it was in the wrong order, right? Meaning, I had no choice to go out of order because I had rockets coming in from Lebanon. I went out and, you know, to root it out. And Mela conquered territory.
But if that's
right?
Mainland Israel, then it really doesn't matter because it's part of...
I'm giving a theoretical example, I'm saying, right? Well,
right.
Look, I could torment you and do this sugya for 6 weeks and then go through every article. Because every article, in addition to this lumdus, you know what they do? They go, okay, let's check every single city and figure out whether it was biblical Israel. Let's look at a map. Let's try to identify all the cities in Tanakh. Let's try to identify the modern cities, right? Ephraim's like, I love it. I'll give you all the articles. You can read it yourself, right? I could torture you, and we could do that.
It's okay, Rabbi.
Right?
It's fine.
That's the right question to ask, but...
Okay.
But we continue in the Sifrei, right?
I mean, that's the point. If it's not not the same, I say... ranking system, if it still has the same kedusha,
correct. That's the question, right? Is that area going to have kedusha? Right now, this has a lot of nafkaminas because, right now, again, this is a very important halachic question, because what is one of the biggest questions that came up, and this is why it comes up every 7 years to be precise, is Shemitah. Is that in Shemitah, we don't necessarily want everything to have kedusha to Eretz Yisrael, because there are certain leniencies that are granted to things which are not considered Eretz Yisrael. Or Safek Eretz Yisrael, like Drom Arava, and the like, which aren't true for mainland Eretz Yisrael. And that a lot of what we rely on in Shemitah is from things that aren't mainland Eretz Yisrael and have lesser Kedushot. So when you'll see during, if you're here during a Shemitah, they'll have things which are Heter Mechira, but then they'll have things which say Drom Arava, right? Drom Arava, right, is land which is not halachic Eretz Yisrael, and the assumption is that there are certain kulot for Shemitah that emerge from that, that therefore allow us...
But yeah. Only if you buy the Svara that Eilat is not,
correct.
Is not Eretz Yisrael. Bidly. If you were to be like, oh yeah, moving Eilat is fine, then Drom Eretz Yisrael is identical.
Bidiyuk, and that's why these are important halachic questions. That's
right.
Why...
Okay.
Right. This is not like just a theory. This is a very complicated lamdish sugya,
yeah.
But halacha lemaisa, trying to apply it to the modern wars of Israel and the implications for the areas in Israel that is not Eretz Yisrael, right, is... It has a very serious halakhic implications. That's why there's so many articles written on this topic. That's why I had a pile of journals this high.
Right.
Okay. So let's continue this sifrei. So hare shekavshu b'chutz la'aretz minayin shehamitzvos nohagos sham. So how do I know that when I did conquer in chutz la'aretz under the proper circumstance that it is permitted? Hare atah dan. So let's take this logically. Nemar kan yehyeh, v'nemar la'alon yehyeh. It's Gzeres HaKosov, it's Ger Shavah. Ma yehyeh amur la'alon mitzvot nohagot sham. Av yehyeh hamur kan mitzvot nohagot sham. We make Gzeres Shavah Eretz Yisrael, and we say that once you conquer Chutz La'aretz in the proper order, so it is Kadosh. V'im tomar, and now you'll tell me, mipnei makav ash David aram narayim varam tzova, v'ein mitzvot nohagot sham. Right? Now we move directly to Syria. And he says, so you'll tell me, then why is it that the land that was conquered by David HaMelech is not Kadosh?
Because it was done.
Right? Amart David shelo kitorah. Because David went against the Torah. Right? By the way, whenever anyone tells you that, you know, you can never say anything about, like, the Avod or David HaMelech or things like that, and they run right away to say that Kol Sha'omer David Chata Eino Ela Toa, which is true as a Shita in the Gemara, right? There is many Shita that say, right, he did make mistakes, maybe not in the Bat Sheva one, but here it's telling you, the Sifrei is telling you, know certain terms, I don't like what he did, right, when he went and he conquered Aram Tzova. Right, David also Shalom Ketorah, you can't say that in more, right? I don't know in what clearer terms I can say he didn't do the right thing. Is David asa shelo katara, right? The Sifrei is pretty clear about that. Hatara amra. The Torah says, "Mishetich b'shu Eretz Yisrael." When you conquer Israel, tihu rasha'im lichbosh chutz la'aretz. Then you are permitted to conquer land outside of Israel. V'hu lo asa kein. He did not do that. Ela chazar v'kavash aram naharayim v'aram tzova v'arev yusi samuch l'Yerushalayim the whole ridge. He was conquering Syria before he conquered Yerushalayim. Right? Because he conquered Syria before his conquest of Yerushalayim against the Yebusi. That's a pretty egregious, right, ordering problem according to Sifrei.
What if he conquered this outside Eretz Yisrael in order to conquer Yerushalayim?
He didn't. He did it for whatever, right? He didn't. It's not true.
Is the assumption of this the fact this is a war for conquering Eretz Yisrael, and that, oh, we want to go conquer this place because, I don't know, they've got nice beaches? That would be a different situation then. We are in a war let's do it's tactically useful. Oh. David clearly is doing this tactically useful.
Again, and that's what I said, is the Sifrei can easily be read in both ways. Right? Is that right? Is that the question? Is the real issue here Rishus, right? Or is it Rishus and order, which normally overlap, but not necessarily. Right? Because this, right, why is it hard, right? By the way, methodologically, why is it hard to figure out the answer in the Sifrei? Because David did both wrong.
Right?
I mean, the paradigmatic case, both factors
were wrong. He didn't have Rishus.
Well, again, within this, the assumption of the Sifrei, it's he did Shiloh Katara. Again, Shad Tanakh is not the story, right? The point is that within the Sifrei, David is paradigmatic as doing a Shiloh Rishus because Shiloh Kaseder. Right? Therefore, according to the Sifrei, both problems exist.
Well,
which means that you don't know which one is primary for the Sifrei,
it's
because...
not, it's not either or, it has to be both.
But that's the thing, is you don't know that. Right? In the Sifrei, both... No, the Sifrei tells you...
The Sifrei says he does it out of order, therefore it's not permitted.
Whoa. Or to frame it differently.
It's against
the language of the Sifrei indicates this. Because what's the key words for the Sifrei? Shiloh Katarah.
And then it says the Torah says that you have to
correct. Out. And the question is that an and or a
if? Or.
No. An and or definition. Right? Meaning, is it don't do it without Rishus, which normally means, right? Is that a don't do it without permission, meaning out of order, or don't do it without permission, point one, and don't do it out of order, point two, even if it's with permission, meaning. Not don't do it. It won't be holy if you do it without permission or if you do it out of order. Right? Not don't do it. Obviously, if you are in a defensive war, you have to fight. Mm-hmm. Right? And if you have to conquer land along the way, kachaze. So the question is whether it was mutter. The question is whether it was holy.
So order is leading to Rishus.
Well, in David's case, for
in
sure.
In Rishus, there's
order. Oh! In David's case, for sure,
it's Rishus.
According to the Sifrei, the problem with David is he did out of order, that's why he had no Rishus.
Right.
The question that the Sifrei doesn't directly deal with is the real issue here
order.
Just Rishus? Right? And normally, you aren't allowed to do things out of order. But were I to come up with a case that would allow you to do it out of order, like you have no choice because it's a defensive war,
right?
So then it would be holy. Or is it saying, look, you need Rishus and you need order, right? And David had neither, because in his case, because there was no extenuating circumstances...
I mean, but either way, Rishus includes order, though.
No.
But,
no.
That's what the Sifrei is saying, though.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
He did it out of order, therefore he didn't have...
But that's permission. What I'm telling you, is what happens if you have a defensive war where you don't have a choice. I didn't choose to do it out of order. The enemy chose to do it out of order for me. It's much...
That's
it's
not what the Sifrei is saying, though.
Nope. You're right, that's my point. The Sifrei is not addressing that case, and that's why I'm saying it's an open question, the Sifrei. Right, the Sifrei, in the Sifrei's case, let me put it differently.
The Sifrei's
well,
going
let me try it again. Okay. In the Sifrei's case, David went to war of his own free will.
Yes.
And the Sifrei says, whenever you go to war of your own free will, right. It has to be in the right order. Israel first, then Chutz Laretz. If it's not, it's Usur, and therefore not holy.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
But... what if you came up with a theoretical different case, which was he didn't go to war of his own free will. He did it as self-defense.
But that's not what the Sifrei discussed.
That's my point. And that's why it's an open question. What would happen in a case?
Or what would the Sifrei hold?
Correct. Right? And that depends on whether you think the Sifrei really only cares about Rishus.
Right.
In which case, if you could come up with a case in which it was mutter, but out of order, such as where I was forced into it because of self-defense,
right. Then
even though it was out of order, it'd be kadosh. But if you think that, no, the Sifrei needs two factors, right?
Which kind of seems like what the Sifrei said.
Well, it's not clear, because...
Well, it hasn't not...
Because the language is...
He did it out of order, therefore he didn't have Rishus.
Correct, but what happens if it was out of order, but there was Rishus? We don't know. It's not clear.
It's he didn't have order, therefore he didn't have Rishus.
Right, but I'm telling you...
It's not...
There are cases where you're allowed to do things out of order.
Right.
I just told you, self-defense. So, would it be kadosh or not? That depends on whether the main point of the Sifrei is just mutter or usser, or mutter or usser plus order. You're right. usually they overlap. But what if they didn't overlap? The Sifrei doesn't answer it.
So it kind of would seem like the Sifrei would say it's not Kaddish.
I don't know what the Sifrei was. I'm pointing out.
I'm saying it clearly says that you need order, though.
Yes, except what's the language? Why is order important for the Sifrei?
In order to get Rishos.
Yeah, but what if you have Rishos without order? Meaning, what is Sifrei's language is David Shalom Katara Asa. Can you say about someone in self-defense that he's Asa Shalom Katara?
No, but it's Kedusha.
Yeah, but that's my point. If the critical thing is Katara or Shalom Katara,
right.
Then if it's Katara, even if it's not in the right order, but it's Mutter,
right.
Then it's going to be Kadosh.
I have a question, Rabbi.
But it kind of seems like from the shot that I'm understanding,
no.
Sorry, that it wouldn't be cut off.
No, because I'm telling you, you can come up with situations.
I understand, but the Sifrei is saying that it's only Kedusha if you have it in order. If it's
no.
in order, then it doesn't...
Again,
then,
again
yes, it's
that
mutter.
Is the question I'm asking. No,
this,
that's the question I'm asking the Sifrei.
Right.
Is when the Sifrei is saying,
yeah.
when you have a war of volition,
yeah.
meaning your own choice,
right.
then you're not allowed to do it out of order.
Right.
If you do it out of order, you don't have Rishos. Therefore, it's not Kadosh.
Okay.
Right? In the Sifrei's case of David, one second, Donnie.
Yes.
Right? You're just distracting me. I'm talking now. Give me a second.
Yeah.
Right? In the Sifrei's case, you didn't have Rishos,
yes.
and you didn't have order.
Yes.
Correct? But what, that therefore, the Sifrei doesn't weigh in on the theoretical possibility
no,
of...
He's saying you didn't have Rishos because you didn't have order.
Correct. But what happened? But that's because it's a war of volition.
Right.
But what if it's not a war of volition?
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's the question. That's what I'm asking, is what would the Sifrei say? I don't know. Because it's not clear, the emphasis in the Sifrei. Right? In a war of volition, you're right. It's always going to be usher if it's in the wrong order.
Right.
But you could come up with a case where you didn't choose the war, where it'd be mutter to fight the war,
right?
Right? Even though it's out of order. And if you think order per se is critical,
right.
then it would not be Kaddish.
Oh, it's simply saying it's only critical in...
Well, that's what we don't know. Yes, Donnie. Position. Yes, Donnie. Yes, Donnie.
Oh, we do.
Now comes clear. Good. Donnie, what are you not clear on?
No, I understand what you're saying, but what do you mean defined by order?
It, mainland? And then non-mainland.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. Continuing in the Sifrei. V'hulo asakein el chazer v'kivin sh'arab narayim anantavu yivuzi samuch l'shan lo rish amar lo amakom and if you see samuch l'palterin shalcha lo rashtra. So God said to him, the Yavusi who are next to your castle, you didn't drive out. Hey, chata chozer v'chabesh aram narayim aram tova. How can you go and conquer Syria? Okay, so that's really we're only up to there. Okay? How much time do we have? What?
53.
Okay, we have time for...
Should we go to the
I'm trying to think. Okay, we're not going to have time for the Ra'ah yet, so let's go around. Fine. So let's go to Tosfos and Gittin. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Okay? Kibush Yachid. Perish Bekuntra. Shlo Hayu. L'sham Kol Yisrael B'yachad. Kamo B'kibush Yoshua. V'chavshu L'tzorach Kulam. Aval David Lo Kavash Lo Tzorko. Okay? That's Rashi. Aval B'sifrei. Right? Tosfos says, however, in the Sifrei, Mifaresh Tam Acher B'sof Parashad V'hayayi. Kev the Mashma. The fish like that, dying color shock, fusha, kadamar hatam, samuch le palte rasha chalo rasha, perish, yvusi, she samuch le ushlaim, vata, holech, vikovesh aram, naraim, aram, sova, of a acha, she called shock, kapchu, darisha tam, dichtiv, koma, koma, she tigro, kafa, buchem, she koma, she fushim, nichutzor, se kadosh, vafil yachid. Okay, so, Tosfot says a few important things. Tosfot, first of all, quotes the Sifrei. Now, does he think that the Sifrei is reconcilable with the Bavli or not?
I'm going to go with no.
So until the last word, I would have said you're right. Right? At first, it sounds like Tosfos is saying, look, Sifrei says one thing, namely, whatever it says, kol makom.
And it says afil yachid.
Yes. But at the end, it says afil yachid. Right? Which means it clearly, what does he think? Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. No. You're right. Tosfos says, no. Okay, no. Tosfos says, yeah. Tosfos said that the Sifrei just argues with Bavli, right? Which is saying, look, the Bavli thinks it's about Rabim, the Sifrei thinks about order, and the way Tosfos reads it is even Yachid, Right? Meaning, according to Tosfos, as long as it's in the right order,
it
can be conquered, even if it's Yachid, which means that according to to Tosfos, the Sifrei
does not
equal the Bavli. That's fine.
That's what we said earlier.
Right? That's what we said, right? It seems totally the same. That's what Tosfos says. Right? Now, Tosfos, does he think it's Rishus, or does he think it's about order?
Order.
Yeah, I think order. Right? Because he doesn't even quote Rishus. Right, he selectively quotes from the Sifrei. He doesn't quote Mutar Aser. Right, he doesn't quote Mutar Aser.
If it's a Yachid in order, then it's for Shus.
Well, you're right, but he doesn't. But if you look at his selective quote, he doesn't quote any of the Aser Mutar language. He only quotes order language. Right, so I think you learn two things from Tosfos. Is one that he thinks that the Sifrei doesn't have anything to do with Tzorach Rabim.
So even a Yachid in the order without permission it's still considered according to Tosfos.
Correct. Right? Correct. Right? The Sifrei, right? The Tosfos has a very specific read that the Sifrei is not about Rabim. Right? The Sifrei is saying things can be Kadosh. Now, what's he essentially saying? Right? Now, if you know anything about American history, Tosfos actually makes a lot of sense. Right? Why? Ephraim, you tell me. Why does Tosfos make sense? Why would it make sense that a Yachid, that an individual, can sanctify land for Israel, right, as long as it's in the right order, right? And that it could still be Kadosh Medusha Eretz Israel. How could that be?
But American history? Mm-hmm.
Think about how America was conquered.
13 colonies, Arby.
You sent individuals who wanted to make their fortune out west.
Right, and they would get a big piece of land.
Big piece of land, like, and then it would become part of America, right? Yeah, yeah. Meaning what? The Sifrei is conceptualizing...
What? Correct,
but according to Tosfos, how does he understand it? The Sifrei, according to Tosfos, is conceptualizing that Israel can be Kadosh the way America became America. That you send people out west to want to make their fortune. They're not fighting a national war.
So according to the Sifrei, that original plan before the whole state of Israel and Israel thing happened would have been great.
Oh, Uganda? Well, we'll come back to whether you can do that. Right? We'll come back.
That would have been perfect.
We're going to come back to that. So hold on to this idea of contiguity, right, for a moment. Hold on to this idea of contiguity. We're going to come back to it. Right? But if I had to argue, right, I would think that Tosfos thinks that according to Sifrei, right, it as long as it's in the right order, right?
Yeah.
And to be fair, this is exactly what happened in America. Right? Meaning, you think about it, right? Texas took a little bit of time to become Kadosh, right? Kadosh is Arzat Abrit, right? Because it wasn't, right? Because first of all, right, anything in like the Midwest, right, it was like the pioneers slowly expanded America's borders, right? Like Texas, right, was like, it came in like later on, right? It wasn't like, it was like a chalos. No, what year?
1945.
Wasn't
Texas part of
Mexico? They came in later on and then tried to secede early.
And then we became a state, and then 20 years later we tried to secede, and that worked for about 5 years, and then the Northerners came in.
You guys recently trying to do that again?
But this is actually how some countries are really built, right? Is what Tosfos is saying is according to this, right, you don't need Rabim, right? You can have individuals striking out their own.
Yeah, but you still need Rishus.
He doesn't say.
What, the Sifrei?
Tosfos.
But the Sifrei does.
Correct, but it may be that for
so how's he saying that the Sifrei doesn't? How's he saying that the Sifrei doesn't need Rishus?
You might think whenever there's order, there's Rishus. But the only thing you need is order.
The Tosfos would.
He doesn't talk about Rishus. I don't know.
The Tosfos doesn't.
I know. I'm saying Tosfos. The way
how can you say the Sifrei doesn't talk about
it? I said Tosfos selective read of the Sifrei, selective citation of the Sifrei.
Right.
Focuses only on order.
Right.
And I propose because his model is basically the American model, which is things can become Kadosh
right,
as long as there's a natural expansion. Right. Even if it's individual pioneers staking out claims.
But you don't need permission.
He doesn't say.
Or he's saying permission would be from Tsarko.
He doesn't say. He's, okay.
What do you mean by the Sifrei doesn't agree with Rabim? Or no? Yes.
The Sifrei doesn't say Rabim. Sifrei doesn't have to agree with the Gemara. Tosfos clearly thinks they're not the same. Right? Tosfos says, no, according to the Sifrei, you don't need Rabim.
Why?
Because you don't need Rabim. Sifrei came before the Gemara. It just doesn't agree with the Gemara. Right? Meaning Tosfos is saying that this is not the same. Zil. Right? Meaning, right? Oh. Yosef had proposed what we'll see in certain people who are going to bring the Sifrei back into the Bavli. Tosus just says, nah, it's machlokas, right? The Bavli needs Rabim, the Sifrei needs Heter.
There's a machlokas on an opinion in a machlokas.
Oh, no, we never have such things.
I know. Love when these love it.
Okay, let's do one more shita. Let's look at the Ramban very quickly. Okay. So the Ramban number 9 says, Umikan yatsu l'rabosenu amachloket b'suria shekarno so kibosh yachid v'hata'a ki David kavash oto b'ratzon nafsho shelo sha'al urim v'tumim v'lo nimlach b'sanhedrin. David did it of his own accord without asking the urim v'tumim and without asking Sanhedrin. Ki haya chayav l'horish kol shivat ha'goyim b'tchila v'achar ka'kein im yirtze yelech al eretz acheret kasher eftiach Hashem b'kan. Because he first had to conquer Israel and then conquer other lands. V'mnei shelo nasa kibush ahu kimitzvat ha'torah amru miktzatam lo shmei kibush v'dino b'mitzvat kedin chutza la'aretz v'kach yishnuya b'sifrei. And since he did it out of order, it is not. But some people say it is fine, right? Because, but remember, it's a machlokas, kibush yachid shmei kibush. The Ramban says, okay, a few things in the Ramban. He follows the Sifrei, right? What does he think the Sifrei means?
Order.
Yeah, sounds like order. Right? Sounds like order because of Rishus. So he doesn't make it clear what would happen.
Because of Rishus or Rishus because of order?
Well, yeah. Not totally clear. Right? I mean, Rishus could have order, right? But it's not clear what would happen in another case. But now he explains an important point which we haven't seen yet, which is he says, okay, explain to me the machlokas, kibush yachid shmei kibush or not. He said, so far we've only explained the position that kibush yachid lav shmei kibush. Remember, in our Gemara, the psak is the other way, which is...
What do you mean lav?
In our Gemara, shmei kibush.
Right.
That it works. Kibush yachid shmei kibush.
According to the Sifrei, it would also work.
Yeah. No. Remember, this is all explaining the shita that it's not kadosh. Right? Remember, our Gemara quotes the other position. So Ramban says, why would you argue with any of this?
Wait, what do you mean this is only explaining low kibush?
All of this is explaining one shita. Why this would not be kadosh. Why what David did was not kadosh. But the other shita says what David did was kadosh, even though it was usur, in the wrong order, for himself, right? Everything was wrong with it.
So according to this, the question...
Oh, so good. We'll finish with this. According to the Ramban, give me a svara. Why would you reject all of this?
Because it only has what to do with one specific case.
No, but why would you reject... Conceptually, justify it. How could you say that if something is in the wrong order, it's usur, it's... blood. It's done for by an individual king without asking the nation. How could you possibly say that that would be kadosh? What is the svara to say kibush yachid shmei kibush?
It needs all the factors together to be counted.
This had literally every factor wrong. Why would the shita hold that it's...
Oh, he's saying all of them are wrong.
He's saying according to the shita who rejects all this and says it is kadosh. Right? Meaning, we've been explaining the shita of kibush yachid lav shmei kibush, that it doesn't work. Why would you say it does work?
Ephraim.
Because
back to the American example, I think there's a good right.
No, it's because of people, right? Because that's the
intentions
the
of the nation,
and they're
sort of
the land.
Yeah, right. That's what he says. Because look what he says in the last line. He says the other shita holds that. Why do I not need any of these? Because he went there and he conquered it, and that's it, right? Which is. Right? If you think about American history, right, there's a good parallel to this, right? Some of the people who conquered land and settled land out west did so
nicely.
Permitted ways, did it with sanction, did it legally. Some people didn't. But you know what? It became America. Meaning, there's a svara, which is, on the one hand, you might say, it's only good if it's sanctioned. But the other svara is to say, look.
Part of Israel, because...
Because it is.
We've made
correct.
It part of Israel.
Meaning, I don't think you have to go so, right? Be so lumdish, right? The other svara says, look, people are there. They've conquered it. It's contiguous with Eretz Israel. What do you want from my life? Right? It was usher. We'll yell at David HaMelech for doing it.
It's interesting from a perspective of the West Bank, with these random little... these little settlements start up in the, like, deep in the Palestinian territory.
But look, I mean, look, let's be fair, right? Ephraim, the history of settling out west was not exactly savory, right? Well, what exactly? You know what historians think? The one of the number one factors of the success of the West was?
Prostitution, right?
It's not exactly slavery. They think that it was prostitution that enabled the setting up of cities, right? And that people to stay there, right? Because otherwise the men were too frustrated and they didn't really have anything to settle down and they just couldn't stay there and they would just travel. But what kept them...
No. That's not why. It's because
they also made a lot of money and
the women made a lot of money and they funded infrastructure
and stuff like that. I'm saying that's not exactly savory, right? And different things, all types of interesting historical cheshbon was there. My point is, right, that things can become part of a nation even in the most unsavory of ways, right? The position that Kibush Yachid Lav Shmei Kibush might be saying, look, this is all very nice, this is an ideal. You need the numbers, you need you need the order.
According to the Rambam, the question you, we asked in the other case doesn't even apply. It doesn't matter, we're not talking about that.
Correct. Okay, let's take a break.